Amen. Welcome today. It is good to be in the house of God. Amen. Well, I missed you guys last week. I was gone traveling and I missed. It's always weird not being in church. I don't know if you experience that, but I experience it. I was sitting in a church in Ellsworth, Maine, because I was on vacation. I go to church when I'm on vacation, as long as I'm not traveling. And it was just like, I miss my church family. So it is good to be home, good to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy, wherever he is, taking care of something somewhere. He preached a good word last week, amen? If you are here, you are blessed by it. Fathers, we have a special gift for you, or men, actually, not just fathers. Any man that's in this place today, how many men are here today? Okay, a couple of you, some of you didn't raise your hand, I don't know. I'm judging you. You look like a man, but I don't know. So if you are a man, there is a little gift for you on the way out today, and we just celebrate you and thank you for all that you do as you continue to help lead in our families, in our church, and all the different things that God has placed on your life as you continue to faithfully follow our Lord. Family relationships. Today we're going to talk about fathers a little bit. Talk about family relationships a little bit, and then talk about our church family a little bit is kind of where we're headed with the message today. You know, family relationships can be very tricky, right? You can find the most joy in your life in family relationships. We've probably all experienced those moments in our lives where we look back and we have such fond memories of so many incredible moments in our biological families. Maybe we look back at some of those situations and we have a lot of hurt as well, because I think our biological families, they can produce a lot of joy in our lives and they can produce a lot of hurt in our lives. And maybe you're here today carrying some more hurt than you are joy, but wherever you are today, you know, I know families can be difficult sometimes as we walk through different relationships and different wounds that we might carry in our lives. I was blessed to have a good, godly father. I thank God for that. He passed about 10 years ago, but he was a great man of God that loved Jesus with all of his heart, did his best to lead the family closer to Jesus, and you know, we're living out his legacy and his following after Jesus in his life, and so, you know, I owe a lot to him as a man and as a father and now as a grandfather. But, you know, there's a lot of joy and a lot of peace, also a lot of pain and a lot of heartache that can come from our families. We are inherently designed for relationships, and our homes are often the best, often get the best of us and the worst of us every day, right? At home, they get the best of you, and sometimes they get the worst of you. Your spouses, your family members, those immediately in your life, you know, they get the best and the worst. Today we're going to focus on some of the dynamics of home and family relationships, but we're going to explore a topic, and the topic is very simple. It's the topic of honor. I think we need more honor in our culture today. Amen? You know, think about our culture, all the things that are going on within our world. You know, I went away a couple weeks ago. I didn't follow a lot. I didn't get a lot on my phone, and I didn't watch news or anything like that. And I came back, and there's a whole bunch of mess going on, you know, in our world, in our culture. You know, I think we need more honor in our culture today. I think that's one thing that we need, and we need that. We need to show that as men and women of God in this culture today, like maybe never before. And so honor is something that we need to show in our homes. It's something we need to show in our church. It's something that we need to show in every one of our relationships. Mark Twain once said this: when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished how much he'd learned in just 7 years. Right? You remember those days, I'm sure. You know, in those teen years when you've got life figured out and you're like, man, I don't know who in the world God placed in my life. And then you start getting a little older and you're like, man, I know nothing about life, you know, and we get into that type of season in our journey. Showing honor is like giving a gift. Honor is a quality that should cultivate not only for our dads, but also for God and the people God has placed in our lives. I came across this article. Patty Meyer, she wrote an article, So what does dad really want for Father's Day? Here's some of the things that were quoted and some as she went through and interviewed various people, various dads. Here's some of the responses for some of the dads. I want a hug and four words, I love you, Dad. How many would love that for Father's Day? Right? That would be great. To spend a day with my kids doing something we all enjoy. Good luck finding something we all enjoy, but, you know, doing something with my family that we all enjoy. A personalized note, another dad said, with my kids, from my wife and kids, about me as a dad. Another one wrote, the assurance that my kids are going in God's direction for their lives. I think that's, as men and women of God, that would probably be the number one, you know, desire in our hearts to see that next generation following after Jesus with all of their heart, and that would bring so much joy into our lives as parents. The spiritual growth of my family is what another one wrote. Another one wrote, a big hug for my three girls because they will be grown and out of the house too soon. Parents, if you have your kids still at home, trust me, it goes by way too quick. I know I feel like an old man standing up here saying that, but it goes by way too quick. You know, before you know it, your kids are gone. For my daughter to understand, I want her to be safe, respectful, and courteous to others, and to know that I lecture, complain, and urge her because I care, love her unconditionally, and wouldn't trade her being her dad for the world. And some other dads just said simply one word, respect. One dad said he wouldn't turn down an elk hunting trip. And another dad mentioned he'd love to have a new motorcycle, right? You know, but most of the dads interviewed by that author, you know, came to a point where, you know, I think it can be summed up with that word honor. I think is what a lot of dads are looking for and a lot of people are looking for in our relationships with one another. So what is honor? The term honor literally means to be a heavyweight, suggesting that we assign the utmost significance to a person and hold them in high regard. Honoring someone means recognizing their worth and placing value on them. Honoring, conversely to dishonor, signifies treating someone as if they're light and insignificant. How many have ever been treated as if you're light or insignificant by someone, right? That's the opposite of being honored by someone in your life. Honoring is about treating someone with respect, while dishonoring equates to treating them poorly. We are called to demonstrate honor through both our attitudes and our actions. Honoring means to uplift, value, and embody the principles and put those principles into practice. In his book, The Tribute and a Promise, Dennis Rainey writes this. It's on the screen. Honoring is an attitude accompanied by actions that says, you are worthy, you have value. You are the person God sovereignly placed in my life. You may have failed me, hurt me, or disappointed me at times, but I'm taking off the judicial robe and releasing you from the courtroom of my mind. That's a fully loaded statement there, isn't it? You know, about our relationships with people that God has placed in our lives. It's saying that you're worthy. It's saying that you have value. Are you honoring to those that God has placed in your life? If you still have your father, are you honoring to your father? Are you honoring to your parents? Are you honoring to those that God has placed in your life? Because honor is not something that's just extended to mom and dad. You know, we're going to get to it later on in this message that Paul talks to the church about how we need to honor one another. And so when we think about that, are we honoring? How are you doing in this area of your life of showing honor to people that God has placed in your life? You know, it's putting the person that God has sovereignly, you are the person that God sovereignly placed in my life. God has placed a lot of people in our lives sovereignly. The people that are around you, God has sovereignly placed in your life. You know, your parents, God has sovereignly placed them in your life. Your kids, God has sovereignly placed them in your life. This church, God has sovereignly placed in your life. So when we think about our relationships with one another, again, it's not based on what people deserve. Honoring goes much beyond that in our lives, and showing honor to those that God has placed in our lives is very difficult because people will fail you, people will hurt you, people will disappoint you. You know, even in church family, we will be hurt, we will face disappointment. There will be times that, you know, leaders within the church might hurt you, might disappoint you, might fail you. In our families, people might hurt you, might fail you, might disappoint you. You know, but we need to continue to show honor because that's what God calls us to do in our lives. So the first point we're going to look at and really focus in on families for just a few minutes. You know, honoring your parents is not just a command. It's a profound act of love and respect that enriches both their lives and our own. It's something that's commanded by God. You know that, right? That honoring your mom and your dad, kids, it's commanded by God. Parents, right? Honoring your mom and dad, if they're still with you, right? You know that's a command by God. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says this, honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The Bible instructs us 8 times to honor your father and your mother, right? That's a command of God, that we are called to honor our mother and our father. This repetition highlights that honoring is not instinctive to us, right? It's not a natural instinct maybe to honor those that God has placed in our lives. While obedience accomplishes tasks, honor reflects an attitude in which we approach them with. You know, obedience represents our obligation, whereas honor signifies the respect we have for that person. Honor is so much deeper than just obeying our mom and dad. We ought to cherish our parents because they hold great significance in our lives. Honor is an essential element in any family bond. Think about your family relationships. Wouldn't it be incredible if your family was just bathed in this idea of honoring one another? Husbands and wives, wouldn't it be incredible if you started waking up every day saying, how can I honor my spouse today? What can I do to show honor to my spouse? How would that change your relationship dynamics? You know, there's sometimes we get in very sticky points maybe in our marriage relationship. And if you want to see a change and a transformation in your marriage relationship, I challenge you with this one thought today. Start honoring your spouse. Start living in a way, how can I honor my spouse greater today than I did yesterday? How can I go out of my way to show honor to my spouse? I challenge you in your marriage relationship to start honoring your spouse that God has given you. It would change the dynamics of your household and of that family relationship very quickly. We must put the needs of others above our own. Right? And that's a very sticky and tricky thing to do in a marriage relationship. You know, we want to fight for ourselves. We are very selfish people. You know, it's part of our DNA, part of our nature, right? That we are very selfish. And so to put someone else's needs above our own, man, that's very difficult and very hard to walk through in our relationship with them. But husbands and wives, how about parents? What if we started honoring our kids? What if we look for opportunities to show honor to our kids? Don't be, you know, dads, don't be one of those dads that never say, I love you and I'm proud of you. I hope you as a person haven't experienced that, but I know that there's probably some in this room, that those that are watching online that have experienced a father relationship like that. Don't carry that on to the next generation. Be a father that says, I love you and I'm proud of you. Be a husband that says, I love you and I'm proud of you to your wife. And on we go. What if we started showing honor to our kids, making them feel accepted and valued and secure and recognizing their purpose, the purpose and the calling that God has placed on their lives in this world? You know, it's amazing sometimes how we as parents can, you know, play the God role maybe in our kids' lives. You know, they need to follow the plan of God in their lives, and they need to submit to God first and foremost. You know, I've talked to families. I've been in ministry a long time. I was in youth ministry for a while, and there was a family that was a core family in our church, and you know, their parents were pleading with them, please, as their teenage kids were growing in their lives, they were saying, please do anything, but do not go into ministry in your life. Man, that broke my heart, you know, that I heard You know, these parents that are pleading with their kids, don't become a pastor, don't become a missionary, don't become, you know, a vocational minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it broke my heart as a pastor to hear godly people that were pleading with their kids not to follow what God and be open to whatever God is calling them into in their lives. Children, of course, honor your parents. The family, as a child honors their parents, the family experiences great harmony. You know, there's great harmony that happens in a family relationship when kids start honoring parents. Respecting your parents is always appropriate. Paul emphasizes the importance of honor in Ephesians 6:2 by saying, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, right? You know, honor your father and your mother. That's a non-negotiable, right, in our lives and in our walk with God. In fact, this is the only commandment among the 10 that specifies the benefits of following it. Honor is so esteemed that God himself emphasized it with a promise. He says, this is so important that I'm going to give you a promise. If you follow this command, then I'm going to give a promise to you. Here's the promise in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The promise has two parts, a great quality of life, right? That it may go well with you. How many want life to go well for you? Okay, every one of us do, right? You know, Scripture says right there, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. The word well is an adverb meaning fine, good, or beneficial. It refers to what is beneficial in our lives. And then quantity of life, that you may live long in the land. I don't know what land, maybe Cleveland, right? You know, we're in the land right now. That it may go well with you in the land. You know, children, when children honor their parents, they avoid a significant amount of sin and peril. Samson exemplifies a man who dishonored his parents. His life was cut short, wasn't it? You know, we need to, choosing to honor our parents creates a positive effect that extends through generations. Did you know that one of the reasons that God gave for the Jews being sent into exile was their failure to honor parents? This was one of the reasons they were sent into exile. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 22. It says these words, father and mother are treated with contempt in you, is what verse 7 says. Skip down to verse 15. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your uncleanliness out of you. Right? That's quite a statement. You know, one of the reasons that they went into exile was because of their dishonoring to their parents. Would you like to enrich and prolong your life? Then we should honor our parents. Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. That's in God's word, right? Good job being responsive there to verse 7 of Deuteronomy, verse 16 of Deuteronomy 27. Proverbs 30:17 vividly illustrates the consequences of disrespecting fathers and belittling mothers. Here's what it says. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to a mother will be picked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? You know, honor is kind of a big deal. And we may have lost that sight of honor in our lives and in our relationships. And so I challenge us today, are we honoring those that God has placed in our lives? Honoring your parents is always important. Here's some additional reasons to honor them, as suggested by Ray Fowler. It says this, it is right, it pleases God, it teaches respect for authority, it places you under God's protection, and it brings peace and joy to your parents, and it helps you grow in wisdom. There's some great list by Ray Fowler of reasons why we should be honoring to our parents. And so I challenge us, every one of us here today, let's bring honor in our relationships with our parents. But now we're going to shift gears a little bit off of mom and dad, because maybe we don't have mom and dad anymore in our lives. Maybe they've already gone on. And so I want us to really think about this topic of honor, not just in family relationships, but I want us to think about this topic of honor within our church family. We need to honor one another in this house. This should be a place of honor. Amen? This should be. Our church, every church should be a place of honor, but many times it's not a place of honor. Honoring one another is a beautiful expression of the grace we've received from God. Honoring one another is a beautiful expression of the grace that we've received from God. When we extend that honor, it's an expression of our salvation story, of our walk with God. It should be a natural outflow of our lives and our relationships with one another. It inspires us to share His love and kindness with everyone that God has placed in our lives, everyone around us. In just a few words, Paul offers a powerful challenge, a radical way to live that counters much of what the world teaches. Romans 12, verse 10 is the verse that I want to look at here, talking about honor that Paul gives to the church of Rome. And he's sending this to the churches, right? That's what he's writing this letter to. And so in this context, this verse is a powerful verse. I love Romans 12. If you want to spend some time just digging into God's Word this week, just read Romans 12. There's a lot of powerful statements in there on how we should be living our lives. But Romans 12, 10 says this, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo each other in showing honor. That's how we should be living our lives within the house of God. Wouldn't it be awesome to be part of a church like that? Where we are outdoing each other and showing honor for each other. It's not just a suggestion for when it's convenient. It's a command for everyday life. Observe that the commandments regarding honor are unconditional. It doesn't state outdo one another in showing honor if the person has done everything perfectly in your relationship with them. Right? That's not in there. I don't see that in there at all. All I see is outdo one another in showing honor. It also doesn't say honor your mother and your father if they're worthy and are great parents. Right? There's not a condition on those statements in Scripture. We are just called to honor. That's what we as men and women of God are called to do. In our relationships with each other in the house of God, in our relationships within our families. And so it's not a suggestion. Here the verse says, be devoted in love. The Greek word for devoted here carries the idea of family affection. It's love that is loyal, committed, and sacrificial. That's how we're supposed to love one another, with loyalty, with sacrificial kind of love. There's not a loyal, sacrificial kind of love in a lot of our relationships within churches. In fact, there's some people that will go to a church for a few years, and then something will happen, and they go on to the next church, right? And then something happens usually in the next couple of years there, and on they go to another church and just keep hopping and hopping and hopping because of all sorts of different issues. We need to have a love that's loyal, committed, and sacrificial. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have within the house of God. Is your love loyal? Is it committed? Is it sacrificial? It's the kind of love that stays even when it's inconvenient or costly. It isn't about feelings. It's about faithfulness. And then it talks about honor. Paul doesn't stop with just love, does he? Now he says that we should honor each other above ourselves. Honor is an essential element in our church family. It's an essential element if we are going to live and do church like we should as men and women of God. It means lifting others up, putting their needs above our own, and resisting the urge to make ourselves the center of attention. This is countercultural. The world says promote yourself, fight for your position, but Jesus says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. To honor someone is to see them through God's eyes, to recognize their value is not based on what they do, but who they are in Jesus Christ. It's a very difficult thing to bring honor into a relationship, especially if the person doesn't deserve it, right? It's very difficult to honor someone that has hurt us or has offended us or has, rejected us in some way in our lives. Now, you know, there might be times that it's right and effective to put up boundaries in our relationships. And I'm not saying we need to not have any boundaries in relationships. So please understand, you know, that I understand there are some relationships that there needs to be boundaries in how we relate with that person, depending on, you know, where we have gone and where we have come from and the history that we've had in those relationships. You know, there's some real hurts that people experience, and I'm not downplaying those at all. So please understand that when we're talking about this, you know, this is a very difficult topic, and I'm talking about, you know, those everyday types of bumps that we come into contact with people. I'm not talking about criminal acts, you know, that happen sometimes in relationships. You know, there are some healthy boundaries we need to put in place in some of those relationships. You know, but Jesus ultimately is our example. If you ever wonder what it looks like in action, look to Jesus. He was fully devoted to us. He honored us not just with words, but he honored us with giving his life. How many deserve the love of God? None of us, right? We don't deserve the love of God, yet he showed it to us in a real and a tangible way by dying on the cross and taking on the punishment that we deserve in our lives. Jesus is the ultimate example of showing honor to people that don't deserve it in their lives. When we live this way, devoting and honoring our relationships become spaces where God's love is both seen and felt. So how can we honor someone even if they don't deserve it? A few years ago, there's an article that I came across called The Reluctant Daughter. It was about a woman who grew up with a father that she described as selfish, who called her children stupid, lazy, rarely expressed love, and was prone to abusive rages. Living a hidden nightmare, she eventually broke the cycle, left home, and married a loving husband, but had no contact with her father, only hearing from him when he asked for money. Years later, she learned that he had emphysema and needed his family, who avoided him due to all the past pain. His daughter, Marianne, felt no love for him and prayed to forget him, but instead visited him in a nursing home, changing her prayer to help God help me with my anger. Despite his nature, she continued visiting, eventually driving him places and inviting him eventually to live with her and her husband for 3 months before he finally died. Interestingly, despite her care, he didn't change much, but Marianne found healing as she chose to honor and forgive him, letting go of the anger, guilt, and the sadness. Her story reminds me that it's not necessary to have a perfect relationship with someone to honor them, but what we truly need is a willingness to be obedient to the Lord. When I reflect on honoring those who may not deserve it, you know, the story of David comes to mind. Here's someone that honored people that they didn't deserve it in their lives and in their relationship with him. Think about David and his relationship with Saul. We all know the story, right? You know, Saul was looked at young David and said, David's going to take my throne from me. I've got to do something about it. I got to kill this young man, David. And so Saul chased David all around trying to kill him. Right? That's what he was trying to do. That was one of the goals of his life. You can read about it in the Old Testament where, you know, Saul is just after David's life and trying to kill him. David finally found himself in a position to conclude the pursuit by doing what Saul was trying to do to him, but by killing Saul. He said, I've got this opportunity now to kill Saul. And there he was in this cave. You can read about it in the Old Testament. But David chose not to take his life. Instead, he is spared the king's life and said this in 1 Samuel 24:6. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. David did not kill the king, but he showed honor to God and showed honor to his leader in spite of that moment that he could have killed his king. You know, that doesn't end there in David's story. We're not going to get into all the details of David's story, but, you know, years later, David had this son named Absalom. Do you remember the story of David and Absalom? Absalom is his son, and, you know, he was the third son of David. The first time Absalom is mentioned in the Bible is kind of a messy situation. One of the other brothers, Amnon, which is another son of David, raped his sister Tamar. So they've got a messy family situation. King David was furious with Amnon, but did not confront him about his actions. 2 years later, Absalom finally took justice in his hand and killed Amnon. King David mourns the death of his son, and Absalom flees in fear. King David wanted to be reunited with his son. His advisor Joab gets involved, aware of the deep longing of King David for his son. He facilitated a reconciliation between them, but he refused to see him. King David refused to see him. You know, after 4 years of persistence from Absalom, David finally met with him, and during this time, Absalom cultivated a connection with the people in an attempt to seize his father's throne. Ultimately, he did take control because King David left. He said, you know what, I'm not fighting with you, son. Absalom, I'm going to leave. And so he left, and then Absalom, his son, tries to come after him and kill him, right? You know, that's what the story goes. His son was trying to kill the father. Ultimately, you know, King David said, you know, spare my son's life, to all his military men. And long story short, the men of David's army eventually killed Absalom. And David was broken over that. He sorrowfully mourned his son's death, leading his men to feel shame rather than feeling triumph. There's some honor in those stories, you know, when we think about people that don't deserve it. And David showed honor in those relationships to people that didn't deserve it. In our lives, I just challenge you. I'm just challenging you with this one idea of honor. Are you honoring the people that God has placed in your life? Are you honoring your parents if they're still living? Are you honoring your spouse? Are you honoring your kids? Are you honoring those people that God has placed in our church family? You know, when people start talking bad about your church family, hopefully your reaction is, let's honor them instead of talking bad about them, right? Let's bring honor into this conversation right now instead of bringing division into this conversation that we're having right now. The enemy wants nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his number one mission in this world. But Jesus says that I've come to that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, Jesus wants us to have life and have abundant life. In everything we do, in everything we say. You know, God wants us to have this church filled with honoring relationships. And I challenge you right now to continue to grow in honoring one another. Who is it that you're struggling with today? You know, maybe there's someone that God's placed in your life that you're struggling with honor. And again, you know, you might not need to open up the whole door into your life for that person. There might need to be some healthy boundaries in those relationships as God gives wisdom and direction, you know. But I think there still needs to be, you know, some forgiveness that's granted in your life. You know, God will help bring freedom into your life as you offer forgiveness and grace, you know, towards those that have brought pain into your life. And so I've seen some people that have let go of some really difficult, you know, abusive types of things that God's brought forgiveness in their life and freedom as a result. And again, I'm not saying that relationship was restored the way it was, you know, before that might have happened. But I am saying that God can bring freedom into your life. And that's what I'm challenging us in today, you know, to be people of honor. Let's honor those that God has placed in our life. Let's honor one another in our church family. You know, let's build friendships with one another. So here's a couple things as we get ready to close in just the next couple of minutes. Some practical ways to honor others above ourselves. You know, we have it right here on the slide. First, treat others as valuable. Look at people as God looks at people. as there are people struggling in their relationship with God. And we need to extend grace and mercy to people that God has placed in our lives. You know, and just as God has extended grace and mercy into our lives. So treat others as valuable. Let them know they're valuable to you with your words, your actions, your attitude. Respect humans. Respect people as an image bearer of God. Respect people. In a tumultuous culture filled with disrespect, the house of God should be people, men and women of God should be people that are showing respect and love, right? That's what we should be. Now, I'm not saying that we can't be truth bearers because we need to be truth bearers, but how do we bear truth? We bear truth in love, right? That's what we do. There's a great balance there between being truth bearers and being loving. And so there's a balance that we need to walk in our lives. Being loving is not just shutting down and shutting our mouths. We need to be truth bearers, right? That's what God calls us to be. And so we need to show the truth of God's word to our culture, but also show the love of God to our culture. Speak well of others, not only to their face, but to others when they're not around. You know what? If people are speaking poorly to you about someone, they're probably speaking poorly about you to somebody else, right? Don't be those type of people that just are continually bashing everybody behind their back, right? Because guess what? They're bashing people in front of you. They're probably bashing you somewhere else in some other relationship, right? So, you know, be careful who you're hanging out with in your life. Be careful what kind of people you're around in your life. But also, make sure that we're people that are speaking well of others. Let's honor one another with the words that are coming out of our mouths, right, every day. Let's speak well of others. Let's rejoice in the success of others. We should be rejoicing success in our world and the good that is happening in our world, in our culture, in our church. You know, we need to celebrate those things and speak well of others and rejoice in their success. Be a friend to others. John 15:15 says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you." If we are friends with Jesus, right, we should be friends with each other. Amen? We should be friends with each other. Man, so many times we just stomp our foot and say, no one likes me. Right? How come I have no friends? Well, maybe you need to be a little more friendly to have a few friends. Right? If we're friendly, friendly people have friends. Zig Ziglar said it this way, "If you go out looking for a friend, you're going to find them very scarce. If you go out to be a friend, you'll find them everywhere." Right? If you go looking for a friend, you're going to have a hard time finding that. But if you go out being a friend, man, guess what? People respond in friendship. Right? We need to be friendly to people that God has placed in our lives. Don't just sit back and complain, no one likes me at church. Well, go be a friend to somebody. Take them to lunch. People will like that. Right? How many would like your lunch to be bought today? Maybe not today. Maybe next Sunday when it's not Father's Day. But a lot of us would love to have lunch bought for us today or any Sunday. Right? Start inviting each other out to lunch and pick up the bill. Quit being cheap. Listen well. When we give people our attention, we're honoring them as important to us. Listen well. We don't need to solve every problem that people have in their lives. Husbands, you don't need to solve every problem your wife has. Sometimes she just wants to talk. I learned that from my wife. It took me a long time, but I finally learned it. Quit trying to solve my problems. Just listen to me, would you? Sorry, hon. Wherever you are, maybe she's already slipped out. Maybe I'm safe. Oh, there she is. Oh, man. She's waving her hands up there saying, I saw that. I heard that. Love your family. What would happen if in our homes we were trying to outdo one another in showing honor? Wouldn't that change the dynamics of your household if you started trying to outdo one another in showing honor? Start picking up some of those chores that your spouse has and do them for them, right? With a smile on your face without complaining. Right? Just honor each other. Let's start showing honor within our houses. That would be such a beautiful expression and reaction to this message today if our families started being houses, if our homes started being houses filled with honor. Man, that would be incredible. Pray for one another. There's another way you can honor one another, by getting on your face before God and just praying. We need intercessors in our lives. We need people to pray for us. We need people to rally around us and just seek the face of God for us. And so I challenge you, in order to have people rally around you and pray for you, they need to know there's something going on that they can pray for. You know, don't be one of those that just comes into church and has all these junk going on. And they're like, man, I'm barely walking into this church on a Sunday morning. And then you don't tell anybody how life is really going in your world. You know, how can somebody pray for you if they don't know how to pray for you? Let's share those things. Let's share those burdens with each other. Let's help each other. And one of the best ways we can help each other is by just going after God in prayer for one another. So a couple closing questions and we're going to be out of here. How are you doing at showing honor to one another? How are you doing in your life at showing honor? Are you excelling? Are you outdoing others? Are you outdoing everybody in your life with showing honor? I hope that's the reputation you have. I hope you're showing honor to those that God has placed in your life. So I challenge you today to start evaluating, how am I doing at showing honor to the people that God has placed in our in my life, and really start evaluating that. Children, are you honoring your parents? You know, obviously we don't need to go down that road any further today, but are you bringing honor to your parents? You know, parents, are you honoring your kids? Are you leading them towards Jesus? Are you doing everything you can to serve and to love your kids and to build, you know, their self-esteem and to build them as people, as children of God? Because we just get them for a little while and then we have to release them, you know, to God. Our influence in those day by day, moment by moment, you know, it gets less and less as our kids grow, and so we need to release them at some point. Parents, are you honoring your kids? Are you building them as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ? Are you helping them study God's word? Are you helping them learn who God is? Are you helping them learn to be people of prayer? Are you helping them be, you know, people that look beyond ourselves to the needs of others? Parents, I challenge you, you know, are you honoring your kids by bringing them up in the love of Jesus Christ? Adults, are you honoring your aging parents? That's part of our responsibility, is to honor our aging parents, right? 1 Timothy 5:3 and 4 says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and make some return for their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. Make sure we're honoring our aging parents and grandparents, right? That's what we should be doing, taking care of those that have gone before us in that are ahead of us in this world. This one's not on the screen, but as I was processing, you know, I ask us, are we building a culture of honor within our church family? I hope that's what we're doing. Are you building a culture of honor in this church family? Ask each and every one of you individually right now, how are you building a culture of honor within our church? Are you doing that by conversations that you're having? Are you doing that by actions that you're taking? Are you doing that, you know, by putting others' needs above your own? Are you doing that by sacrificing for each other? You know, how are you honoring your church family? And what are you doing to show honor to your church family? So I challenge you, if you're not doing anything to build a culture of honor, start doing it. Start building a culture of honor within our church and start praying, God, give me some real ways that I can build that culture of honor within Bethel Christian Church. And finally, are you honoring God by being obedient and honoring others? Are you being obedient unto God? Are you honoring God with your life? Ultimately, that's the question that I want to just land the plane with, so to speak, today, and really help us to evaluate, are you honoring God with your life? Are you honoring God by being obedient to Him in everything that He calls us to do? And one of the things He calls us to do is to honor one another. So are you doing it? Are you being obedient to God by showing honor? Are you being obedient to God by living a lifestyle of honor? Are you being obedient to God in every aspect of your life? You know, next week we'll get, or a couple weeks we'll get more into these uncomfortable topics. You know, that we'll dig it down into a couple more as we close out that series. But you know, I really want us to really just think about this idea of honor today. And are you honoring God with your life? Are you being obedient to God with your life? Are you honoring those that God has placed in your life? Let's stand on up today. Mark 7:6, Jesus said these words, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I hope that's not the expression that Jesus would use describing anyone here at Bethel Christian Church. This morning we sang some great songs together as we introed, as we started this service. And, you know, we might have honored God with our lips today by singing the songs off the wall. And, you know, maybe songs we knew, maybe songs that are new to us. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But maybe we honored God with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. So I challenge us today, let's be people that run after Jesus. Let's be people that honor God with our lives. Let's be people that honor the people that God has placed in our lives. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes today. And in this moment of just quiet before our Lord, I just want us just to reflect on our lives and reflect on our relationship with Jesus. And first, am I honoring God with my life? And second, am I honoring those that God has placed in my life? Let's just reflect on that for just a moment today. Lord, speak to us in this time. Lord, help us to know how to show honor, Lord, both to You and to the people that You've placed in our lives. And God, I know that's different in every relationship because the history is different in every relationship. And how we honor one person is going to be drastically different than how we honor others. But God, I pray right now that You would give us wisdom on how to honor those that You've placed in our lives. To honor those even that have hurt us or betrayed us in some way. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord, to be people, Lord, that honor those that You have placed in our lives. God, I pray right now that You'd help every one of us to honor You, Lord, to honor You with our whole heart, Lord, to obey You and to follow after You with everything inside of us, God. I just pray right now, Lord, in this moment, God, that we will just recommit and rededicate ourselves in Your hands and say, God, I want to honor You with my life. And Lord, I want to honor You with everything inside of me, Lord, by living in obedience to You, by worshiping You as I should, by praying as I should, by reading Your word as I should. God, help me to honor You with my life, to be a representation of who You are to those that are around me every day of my life. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that we will have that deep desire to honor You above everything else in our world. God, just have Your way in our hearts and our lives today. God, we thank You right now, Lord, for being people that You are molding into men and women, that You're molding into people that are showing honor to those that are around them. Lord, to thank You for molding our church into a church that's overflowing with this idea of honoring one another. And God, help that to be part of our DNA. Lord, that we will bring honor in every relationship we have in this church. God, we love You so much. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here in this place today. And God, I pray that You'd go with us with Your anointing, Your strength, and Your power, and help us to show honor in our lives this week. God, we love You. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week. Men, don't forget, there's just a little gift for you on the way out. You know that we'd love just to give you, and we're just so thankful for all the dads here today, all the grandfathers today, and I pray that you have a great rest of the week and hope to see you on Wednesday night. God bless.